couple of, well, you can just go ahead and come while I'm saying this. A few days ago, Tony and I were ministering in St. Louis, Missouri. And before the service, I was getting ready. And the Lord spoke something in my heart that I had never ever heard Him say quite in the way that He did. He said, and there was almost like a pleading in His voice. He said, "Give me a chance to heal people tonight." Usually we're wanting Him to see, you know, that there's a need. But I heard His heart. I felt the compassion in His heart. He was just looking for an opportunity to heal. He said, "Give me an opportunity to heal people tonight." And while we were singing about the blood of Jesus, and if you could go back to that, you know, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. That came back to me. He wants to heal people tonight. There's people who want their healing, these. But do you know there's one who wants their healing even more than they do? And it's the one that paid the price with His own blood for their healing. Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus and that there's healing in the blood of Jesus? Tony's going to minister. I'm going to just help him. He's got such a strong anointing where healing is concerned. And it came in tonight. I just felt like this is the way that it would be. I'll just come along with him and help him in this. Jesus will heal. Another verse of scripture that came to me as we were just ministering to the Lord here was, "Pray ye one for another that you may be healed." So Tony's going to be praying. I'm going to just be praying with him. But I really felt like all of us should just lift up. They're going to be singing this song. And actually this song is like a prayer, a worship. And let's just let this atmosphere just be charged with the healing power of God. Amen. So let's just go ahead and lift this up together. And let's let this be a holy healing clinic. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Healing in the blood of Jesus. Jesus.
For healing and health. I thank you for those that came up here and that had hands laid on them. They appropriated Mark 16 that says if believers shall lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And so I just thank you that recovery has set about in their bodies right now. And we're so grateful for that. We're so thankful for the healing that is are these people in Jesus' precious name. But while we're just thanking you for the healing, even though there may not be a need for healing in your body, let's just go ahead and thank God that we're healed. Amen. It's good to be preventative in these things too. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you're the strength of our heart. Oh, amen. You give us our breath to breathe. You give us our strength. Amen. Strong, and going from strength to strength. Amen. I thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. He's so good. You can turn and tell somebody that my God is good, and then you can sit down. Makes you feel sorry for all the rest. But our God is good. He's good at what He does. It's been a while back, but I was in my own devotion time. Thank you. That was just exceptional. That was really, really good. Are you thankful for your worship team? I am too. I'm just so happy for you. It is such a blessing. Really extreme. And I know from, you know, being in music groups to get that sound, they work hard. They work really hard. And then but they don't just put their confidence in their practice. They really lean on the Lord, so there's a good touch of the anointing on it too, and it's so sweet. But I just want to commend you for giving your time. I know you do some time in there. That's good. It honors the Lord. Really honors the Lord to give the best. And you're doing it. So nice. Anyway, now what was I saying? Oh. Yeah, well, in my devotion one time, I was praising the Lord. There are so many names, you know, that identify God. He doesn't go by just God. He goes by many names. You can think of names right now. Call out some. Huh? Oh, well, not all at once. I can't get it. Okay, I did hear Jehovah Jireh and, huh? Yeah, all the Jehovah ones, you know. He's the Good Shepherd. He's Prince of Peace. He's Counselor. Huh? He was a mighty God. These are His names. And actually, tonight, you know, we could spend a bit of time just listing His names. Because one name was not sufficient to describe Him. He is identified by many, many things. So I was worshiping Him one time. Sometime the Holy Spirit will just inspire one of His names. And you worship Him according to that name. Rather than just doing things by rote. Just doing things by, you know, just ritual. Look inside, and there'll be something the Holy Spirit inspires that connects you personally with God rather than just a ritual of worship. So anyway, this was I the name that He put in my heart to worship Him with at that time was Savior. And I just lift up a praise to him for Savior. That's one of his names. And while I was worshiping him for being the Savior, this came to me, that he is disposed to and especially good at saving. The reason he is called Savior is because he is disposed to and especially good at saving. That makes sense, doesn't it? In other words, he just has a bend towards saving. He just has a natural talent. He's gifted in saving. And his expertise in it, especially when it's disastrous, he's professional at saving. And once he saves you and delivers you out of the kingdom of darkness and then transfers you into the kingdom of God's dear Son, he doesn't quit being your Savior. Has he ever continued saving you? Has he brought you out of different kind of deals? Even deals you got yourself into. What a kind Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Amen. I was looking through my journal today. I love to just sing songs about him. And I love this tonight because he just becomes so clear then. You just sing about him. We just turn our eyes on him. Everything gets dim compared to his wonderful face. But I was in the neighborhood where Tony and I live. I like to do my walking at night, which Singapore is a nice place to be in the way that it's always safe, and you can walk anytime, day or night, pretty much anywhere, and you're safe, and so are your kids. Anytime, day or night, they send their little kids, 3 and 4 years old, on taxis to school, and they always get there. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, there's a price for that. It's just that they pretty much kill people that kill other people. They kill them quick, and anybody that would molest a child, they'll beat them until they wish they were dead. And so then pretty much you're safe. The only afraid people are the bad guys. But the good guys are safe. It's a dangerous environment for bad guys. So it's been actually a little bit enjoyable, you know, to be there. But I like to walk at night after everyone has gone to bed in the neighborhood. And I was... There's this one street that, you know, is a nice one to run on. And I've tried to start running again. But I noticed something, because I haven't run unless it was in an airport so I wouldn't miss a plane. But I was trying to run here for a little bit, you know. So anyway, I noticed something, because years and years ago, I used to really like track, and I used to like to run. But I found that I was having a difficult time to make it to just the end of the block. And so this was an interesting thing to me. I found that if you look down when you're running at where you're going, that you'll just poop out before you ever get to the end. You cannot look down at where you're going. You can't even look a little bit out in front of you. You have to find the goal up. Find something and run towards that. So I would, at the end of the block, I'd see this light through the trees at the end. And I noticed this, that as I put my eyes on that light, and I just ran towards that light. But I noticed something, the closer that I got to it, to that goal, what was about at eye level when I was at the beginning of the street, at eye level, the closer that I got to it, it kept on raising. I got closer to it, and by the time I was running like this. And as I turned around the corner, the Lord said, yeah, And that's the way it is in these days. You set your eye on him, and the closer you come to the end of time, it'll be that you look up. It's not that you're just having to look up. If you have your eye on him, the closer you get to the end, you're going to be looking up, because your redemption draws nigh. Amen. So the more we get to the end, the more up we're looking. Hallelujah. And it will just mess with the way you run to look at your feet. It just messes with your energy. It messes with everything. Hallelujah. There's stuff all around in your life. And just to glue your eyes on that will mess you up. If you look at yourself, you're out of it. You just look at him, and it's going to be okay. Amen? It has nothing to do with this evening's word, but I felt like somebody might need that. All right. Let's go in the Bible. We're talking about prayer. Amen. So, guys, have you been born again? Amen. So you have this new identity. We're not going to iron on anything that we did last night. We ironed on that for a long time. And we're just going to just pick up where we left off on some other things that will help us in the area of prayer. I want you to go in your Bible, please, with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the Holy Spirit. We were singing a song tonight, something, I can't even remember now what the song was, and we sang the Holy, Holy Spirit. Oh, there was just an anointing on saying his name, the Holy, Holy Spirit. And today I was reading in Matthew, you know, just for my own devotions, and how the Holy Spirit has just been such He's the worker. He's the one that anointed Jesus. He's the one that went before, you know, even Jesus was born and did all these amazing things. It was the working of the Holy Spirit. The book that we hold in our hands, on our laps, it was because he moved on people to write or to speak, and then somebody's transcribed what they wrote. He's amazing. He's God. So we're going to look a little bit at the Holy Spirit in prayer tonight, because that's where we ended up last night. Matthew 16, I'd like us to look here in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And I want you to particularly note that. Who do men say? Who do people say? What do people think? All right, that I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist." Well, let me ask you, were they right? No. What about Elias? That's Elijah. That wasn't right either. What about Jeremiah? No. What about one of the prophets? Nobody was right. At least they had, you know, that was in like a spiritual category. It wasn't like an athletic person, or it wasn't like a scientist or something like that. It was, at least it was in the category of religious people. But they were all wrong. Now let's look and see what Jesus said. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now look at what Peter says. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now this is interesting. Who revealed the right answer? It was the Father in heaven. And he revealed it by the Holy Spirit. That is the communicator, the Holy Spirit. And so, the one who gave the right answer
was the Holy Spirit, was God. All the answers that men could come up with were wrong. It wasn't that Peter was right and everyone else was wrong. It was that Peter got his information from someone who knew. Do you understand? He said, "You're blessed because who revealed this information unto you wasn't what people think. It's what God himself thinks." And God's right, you know. So now in verse 18, look what it says. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now Jesus is building his church, but he is not building his church on the way that men think. He's building his church on the way that he thinks. He's building his church not on the will of man. He's building his church on his will, on his preordained purposes. All right? And so if we're going to be involved in the building of the church, then it will not be according to the way people think, the way I think, the way any of us think. It's the way he thinks. All right? Now, notice something, though, that he says here. He says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter." Now before Peter's name meant little pebble, like a pebble in your shoe type of a thing. And if you've ever had a pebble in your shoe, and you have, they're a nuisance. And Peter was pretty much a nuisance. And his name described on who he was. And so Jesus said, "Thou art Peter," which does not mean a little pebble. He says, "Thou art Peter," and that means a rock. So in other words, by the Holy Spirit, Peter, identified Jesus. By the help of the Holy Spirit, he knew his identity. But then by the Holy Spirit, Jesus identified Peter. And I'm telling you what, the identity that Jesus gave Peter didn't match at all the way other people saw him or the way he saw himself. Aren't you glad God knows the truth about you? Yes, we know that he knows all the bad things that we've ever known, but he knows your true identity. Even if it's something that you don't know yourself, because he created you, he knows, and especially if you are born again, you're created in him, he knows who you are. That's good. So, by the help of the Holy Spirit, Peter was able to identify Jesus truly. By the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus identified Peter truly. And Jesus said, "On this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." There's many ways to translate that, but I just want to just lift up this one principle, and that is this, that your position or your place in the body of Christ, who and how you function within the body of Christ, has to be by revelation. You cannot just try to be like someone else. Jesus said he would build his church by a revelation of people's true identity in a matter of speaking of who he is, but then not just who he is, but also who they are. Who he is as the Son of God, but then when they're born again, who they are. Amen. Because then the church is built. We are the church. He's the head, but we are the body. Praise God. So it's very important that we are able to see by the help of the Holy Spirit who we are. Who is our identity? And Tech talking a little bit about what we were going over last night. Who we are. It makes a big, big difference. But then not only who we are, but the Holy Spirit will even help you to get other people's true identity too, and not hold them to the wrong identity. Once the Holy Spirit ever shows you something true about someone, then that's the way you see them. Even if they act like something else. Isn't that interesting? Notice that Jesus didn't wait to call Peter, Peter, until after the day of Pentecost, when suddenly he was a rock. There was a space of time when he didn't even look like a pebble. He looked more like oatmeal or something. But he started calling him Peter before he saw something in him. It takes no spirituality at all to identify someone's flesh. But I'm telling you what, you have to have heart eyes to see someone's heart. To see what somebody is acting like and has been and track record and da-da-da-da-da. Anybody can see that. But you have to have God eyes. And he's willing to give them. He's willing to let us look through his eyes. To identify other people and even identify yourself. Disconnect yourself from things of the past. Those things really did pass away. But as you accept the true identity, then you're able to be built into the place where then God has wanted you to be. I know that quite a few years ago, there was something that the Lord really ministered in my heart in a service, but it was kind of by the spirit of prophecy, about the body of Christ. And that in our desire to be the same, was our weakness, lay our weakness. In our sameness, lay our weakness. We're not to be the same. We're to be different, very different. Have different functions, do differently. The anointing that is on different people functions. There's different people that function within this church. That is when the anointing really operates upon them, because that is where they minister. But there is going to be a lot of people that step into their pulpits as soon as they leave this church property. Isn't that interesting? Your pastor steps into it when he comes. Most of you step into your pulpits when you leave. It's interesting, isn't it? He has to prepare to come here and give you preparation so you can go there to your pulpits. It's interesting. So, I mean, there's other people, you know, I know there's different ones that do minister within the church, but a large part of the church body is going to be ministering in all different kinds of circumstances. Well, it's a very important thing then that we allow each other to be and to flow and to operate and to move in God and to express God in the way that we're supposed to, and the different ways that we're supposed to. Now, let's just keep reading in this. It's a wonderful, wonderful teaching here. He said this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it, to hold out against it. Even if there's strong darkness somewhere, it'll have to give way to the church. Now notice, I will give you unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I want you, if you were here last night, just to notice, please, with me, what are these keys to, or keys of? Notice, they're the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, notice then, down here in verse 20, he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Now, what was Jesus trying to discuss with his disciples and prepare them for and to teach them about? What was he talking to them about? Well, actually, he was talking to them about the plan of God, the mind of God. I know in the way that Tony was raised, many felt that the Jews were Christ killers, or, You know, and they took it out on the Jewish people for killing Jesus. How terrible it was of you to kill Jesus. I say, hallelujah, he died. If he didn't die, we'd all go to hell. So I'm thankful that he died. But there's a wonderful prophecy in Isaiah 61 about Jesus that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. And in Luke, the 18th chapter, he found the place in the Scripture where it was written of him. He found something about himself to identify himself. You know, Jesus found things that identified himself in the Scripture. He found it, and it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim deliverance to the captive, opening of sight to the blind, and to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord." And all these wonderful, wonderful things that he was anointed to do. But he was also described in Isaiah 53. It's a little different description there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. That's why we have a song to sing tonight. But Jesus found that in the Scripture too. And he knew that he was going to go to the cross. So he was trying to talk to these people, his staff really. He was trying to tell them what was going to happen. And he wasn't telling them, so that they would try to block it from happening, or that isn't it terrible what these mean old chief priests and scribes and Pharisees are going to do to me? Wasn't it all that? So let's just keep going here. It says here, verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not come unto thee. Verse 23, But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Not even Peter. "Get thee behind me, Satan." And not even a demon. This is the big guy. This is the chief guy. "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now let's look at one thing. We'll look at several things here, but the first thing, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now notice, it's not too many verses down that he's saying, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven." And oh, you know, you're speaking by revelation, and God's speaking right through your mouth, and oh, you're wonderful. A few verses later, he's saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." This guy is like a radio mouth. He just can tune into anything. And really, people are. You can vocalize how you feel, what other people think, what God says, what the devil says. And some people's mouth is just like a trumpet to say anything. Anyway, notice what it says, this second phrase. It says, "Thou art an offense to me." I think that would be the horriblest thing that you could ever hear God ever say to you, except for, you know, "Go away from me, be cast into outer darkness." That'd be the worst. But this, if you love him, you have an appreciation at all for him, to have him then tell you, you're an offense to me. What we want to hear him say is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, you know, come on in," or whatever. But here he's saying, "You offend me." Now, who's he talking to? Remember, he's talking to Peter. Well, who is Peter? Is he one of the multitude? Well, no, not just one of the multitude. Is he only just one of the 12? No, he's even more than just one of the 12. He's one of the three top guys. He's one of the closest guys to Jesus. If Jesus had to take a small team anywhere, like when he went in to go raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, he only could take three guys with him. And one of them was Peter. Peter was one of the guys on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there always with Jesus, one of the top guys. We could say he was his right-hand man. He was right there. And he said, "You are an offense to me." Now, That is a little bit unusual for us to hear in that English vernacular. Let's look at it in the Amplified. It says this: Jesus said to him, "Get away from me. Get behind me, Satan. You are in my way. You're an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me." Now, as being somebody, and we're talking especially about the things of prayer, what we're wanting is for God to have his way. We sang tonight, rain, you know, send your rain and move by your spirit, pour your spirit out. We're wanting God to have his way. But it's interesting that we who want God to have his way can actually be in the way. We can actually be trying to block God from having his way, which is a very scary thought. Of course, we know the Antichrist out there do, and all those, you know, people that are wicked and terrible and that, but we're not talking about them out there. They're not in here. We're in here. If this wasn't somebody afar off, this was Peter. And Jesus said, "You are in my way. You are hindering me. I am set to do the will of God, and you are in my way." That's terrible. But this next phrase gives us a clue as to why. And it says this: "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." I'm going to give you some other translations to help us just see it a little bit more. The Amplified says, you're minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. This next one's clearer. You think like everyone else and not like God. So we could say it this way: you are in my way. Jesus Christ is talking, and he says, you're in my way because you think like everyone else and not like God. Here's another one. You're in my way because the thoughts of yours don't come from God. Listen to this one. You're in my way. You're a hindrance or a block to me because you're not thinking the way God thinks, but the way humans think. Well, you say, well, we are humans. But you have to understand, if you're born again, you have access to higher thoughts. We have a choice to what thoughts we have. Now, thoughts, human and low thoughts, are going to be natural. But we do have a choice to be able to have higher thoughts. And low thoughts are blocks to God, are hindrances. I really believe that some of the greatest hindrances to God aren't in the kingdom of darkness. It's never, ever gotten to him. Maybe some of them are in the pulpits. I don't know. Or at least people that call themselves by his name. Maybe even lift up hands. But if there's a wrong thought, if there's a low thought, you can actually become a block to what God is doing. Now, let me give it to you in several different realms and arenas. For instance, we'll use your pastors for as an example. You have wonderful pastors too, don't you? And so if Maria as a pastor's wife, and I use her as an example because I see how that she esteems her husband in God so well. But if she has a thought about him that is low and not right, and it is not of God, she has an identity thing. She has stuck on him an identity of who he is in Adam, not in the second Adam, but stuck on him and held him in a mold of who he is because of maybe horrible things he's done. And maybe there's evidence to the reason why she has this thought, but she's held that on him. Well, God wants to work in Paul's life. God wants to bring out his true identity. Bring it out. It doesn't do anyone any good on the inside. One of the verses of scripture we said talked about yesterday is, put on the new man. Don't just keep him in the closet. Put him on. So Maria can hinder or be a block to what God is doing. God would have to move around her to get in. And can God do it? Yeah. Yeah, he can. But I'm telling you what, a lot of times the people closest to us, God has to move around us to get to them. Because we've surrounded them with wrong thinking. God help us. God forgive us. A wrong identity. You're this, you're this, you're never going to be any different. Yeah, you're this, you're this. No, they're exactly who God says they are. Amen? Now, that's in a personal relationship area. That it can be that way with your children. It can be that way with your parents. It can be that way with friends. It can be that way in every way. It's important that we allow God to identify people. He wrote their book. He knows everything about them. And then that we agree with God. Perhaps that person themselves has disagreed with God and trying to, you know, to stop what God is doing in their own life. But at least if you can agree with God, surround them with the truth. Amen? Does this make sense? But now in another category, it works where the plans and the purposes of God. This one that I just mentioned is a huge one. It's really important sometime for us tonight when Pastor was praying, he was saying, we just humble ourselves before you. Sometimes it's good to just humble our thinking. We don't know how hard and fast our thinking is. And we have come to our opinions, we think, by different things that have happened, by different things that we have heard. And so we come with this opinion. You have to humble yourself. I know that there was a time the Lord was having me pray every day the epistle prayer from Ephesians 3. Lovely prayer. Wonderful prayer. And sometimes, you know, there's just different seasons. Well, it'll come up again, and you pray it a lot. Well, but we were living in Italy, and I was praying this prayer in Italian every day. And I remember I would pray, you know, I bow my knee unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And usually I'd just be praying it in my bedroom. And I'd sit on the bed and I'd have the Bible and I bow my knee unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget it. One day when I was saying, as I was sitting on my bed, I said, I bow my knee unto the Father. And I thought, you know, probably when I'm praying to God, I ought not to lie in the first phrase. Because I keep on saying I bow my knee as I'm sitting. And so, you know, I slid off the bed and got onto my knees and I started all over again and I said, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I did, I just broke. I just started crying. But then the next day, it was not my knees. I felt that I was not just to bow my knees. I was to bow my desires. I could hardly get off of that first verse of the prayer. It wrecked the prayer for me. I just had to But the Lord used that one little phrase to just help bow different things in my life, bow my opinions, bow my thoughts. I bow it to you. I humble it to you. If it's not yours, if it doesn't match yours, if it doesn't agree with you, it's not right. So why would you defend it, even if you've got good cause to? Unless you have God cause, there is no cause. Amen? So, we bow our thoughts to Him. Now, go over to Isaiah 55.
recently, it was in the month of May, May 29th, in my time of devotion, I got this verse, I got this little phrase in my heart. The Lord, I felt, put this in my heart. He said, keep a loose hold on your thinking and understanding of events that are to be. Let me say that again. Keep a loose hold on your thinking and your understanding of events that are to be, concerning events that are to be. And keep a firm hold on God and what He has revealed in His will. And so there are different things that are going to be happening in these days. So we've talked about the realm of your personal relationships, yourself, your personal relationships. But also when you're praying about, you know, the will of God happening for your church or different things concerning that, it is very important that you don't walk into, it's got to be this way, it's going to be this way, it's going to be that way. No, you know what? Probably it will be. You can mark it down. It won't be that way. As soon as you think it's going to be this way, then you can cross that one off the list. It won't be that. It may be similar, and there may be some things that are the same, but it won't be that. You know how I know this? Because I got smart on God several times. I had several pieces to the puzzle, and I thought, that's it, that's what's going to happen. And then, when it happened, it wasn't that at all. But it was everything that those little pieces indicated. It didn't take away at all, it was just more, and better, and clearer, and smarter. We have an amazing ability like a hot air balloon. Your thoughts are like sandbags to a hot air balloon. God's thoughts rise. They fly. Our thoughts can ground a God thing. You got to lose the sandbags till it's just all God. Now let's look at this. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, I want to talk to tonight. That was all introduction. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, I said all that to just make this one thing clear. This one kind of prayer that really a lot of times we don't talk a lot about, but is a very, very important kind of prayer, and it's very simple, and everyone can do it. All right? And I see it like a recycling kind of prayer. It's a very purifying kind of prayer. But it's very important, especially in these days and times, to make sure we're getting the mind of God, so we're not hindering, but we're participating with what God's will is for our lives and for what He's doing in other people's lives too. So now let's look back at verse 8. It says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Human thoughts, we could say. God's thoughts are not human thoughts. Just not. Not. Even Paul said this in the book of Corinthians. He said that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Foolishness. If there's any genius upon the earth, it's just because God has just sprinkled out some of His intelligence. He is infinitely smart. And He's always right. And He does not think like humans.
But by the help of the Holy Ghost, he has given the ability for humans and the possibility for humans to think like him. He will not lower his thoughts to us, but he has given us a way to come up and think like him. All right? Which do you think is better? So anyway, listen, it says thoughts are not the same, but neither are ways. Are they different? Of course. Of course they're completely different. God can give a God thought, a dream, an idea. But now how do you bring that to pass? Those are ways. So a lot of times people will get a God thought and attach man's ways. And you know what you do? You ground the thought. You bring that dream and vision down. You can't, it ceases to be God's. It's my vision. It's my dream, my destiny. No. We're dead, and our life is hid in Christ and God. If we have anything to live, it is his life through us. It's his vision expressed through different people in different ways. So God will have ways that he wants to carry out his thoughts. And they only work together. Not God's thoughts with our thoughts. Or God's thoughts with our ways. No, no. It's God's thoughts with God's ways. Those make highways as opposed to low ways. Does this make sense? So when we're making a highway for our God, what do we make it with? His will, which are high thoughts and high ways. And I'm telling you what, they run right over all blockades of men's minds, all tradition, all opposition. The gates of hell can't hold out against it. Why? It's high. It comes against you. It's high. It goes over the top. So now, let's look at this again. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now this is what we want to come to. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the thing which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now watch what happens with the word, with the will of God. I need a pen. God will... Because true prayer always begins in God. God's will always begins in God. All right? But it doesn't do any good in God. Stuck in God, it doesn't do any good. And it will never, ever affect anybody on the earth as long as it stays in God. He's got to get it into the earth. Well, how does he do it? He puts it into hearts. He doesn't just put his will on the earth somewhere. No, he puts his word like a seed, says here, like a seed into human hearts. This is the way it's always been. He's always done it this way. And so he puts it in a heart, a human heart. Now, it says that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What do you do with seed? What are you supposed to do with seed? You're supposed to plant it. You're not supposed to eat it, right? Supposed to plant seed. What do you do with bread? Do you plant bread? Probably not. If you plant bread, you're not going to get more bread. You're going to get maggots and worms and stuff. So, but you do plant seed, and he gives both. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And this is in relation to his thoughts and ways. Okay? So what he does, he'll put a thought or a desire in your heart. Now, it's either bread or seed. If it's not ready to eat, doesn't have the way, it doesn't, there's no ways attached to it, it's just a thought, then for pity's sake, don't eat it. Plant it. Well, how do you plant it? You plant it in prayer. Give it back to God. You give that thought up to God. Well, then what happens? And then it's not my dream. No, you've given it to God. Give it to God, and you know what he does? He multiplies your seed. And a lot of times that thing will come back to your heart, and it's bigger. When you pray about it, it'll be bigger. Now, if you don't plan it, it'll just stay like a desire, a little desire in your heart or whatever like that. But if you ever start planting it, it'll multiply. And it'll start getting noticeably bigger than in your heart. How long do you do that? Until he gives bread for the eater. It'll come down to you as bread. And it'll be like, this is the way. Walk in it. Do this. Now let me show you what happens. If you just, and you don't do this in other tongues. Tonight we're going to pray some more in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will help us pray along some lines in the Spirit. You can pray in the Holy Ghost about God's thoughts and his plans and his ways that are not yet revealed to you. But if something has come to you, you can talk to him about it in other tongues, but acknowledge the clue that you have. Even Blues Clues does that. I don't know, has anyone watched that brainless show? I just think, what are we doing here? But anyway, praise the Lord. Children like it. And it's wholesome. Good. It's wholesome. But they find these clues. And he writes down the clue, you know, he keeps track of all the clues. I think that God puts things in people's heart and they show little regard for it. It has to do with his plan coming to pass in your life or through into other people's lives. It is a horrible and blatant disrespect to God to not just at least acknowledge. Well, how do you acknowledge? Tell him. How you would tell anybody. I say, but I don't know if it's God. That's the beauty of this kind of prayer. Tell him what you've got. Everything about it. And what's of him will come back down to you. What's not gets taken away. Isn't that nice? It keeps it clean. It keeps it in good form. Amen. Now we want to pray this way because we want to keep our thoughts and ways in line with God's thoughts and ways. And this kind of prayer keeps yourself navigating according to the will of God and not according to, because a lot of times God can give a thought and then we attach the ways. And we start to work it out that way. And then if it doesn't work, we say, how come? How come? Does this make sense?
Yes.
Now this works for, you know, like kids getting ready to go to college, what kind of school to go to, what's the next business move to make. Give God what you have about it. Acknowledge it. And ask him what he thinks. I know years ago when we had time to pray with Brother Hagin, a lot of times just in his home, sometimes at evening, in the evening, he would pray this way. And it would fasten. It wasn't like a really kind of a prayer. It wasn't a strong one. It was very conversational, like one talking to God. Is that what prayer is? Talking to God. And so this kind of prayer is you simply, honestly, telling God, talking to God, and putting up to God what God has given to you.
and He puts it back in your heart in greater form, puts it back in your heart again in greater form, puts it back in your heart then again many times as bread. And then you eat it. Don't pray when it's time to move. Keep going. Move then when it's time to move. Let me give you an example to this, and then we're going to pray. There was a man. This is just a ministry example, but this goes for business, this goes for education, this goes for all that God's will could involve in your life. There was a man in the state of Texas. He was a pastor of a Pentecostal church, a little skinny man. And he saw in a newspaper about the gangs of New York and some killings that they had done. And when he read the newspaper, something different happened to him in his heart than just him reading the newspaper. It affected his heart. And he cried for those people. He said, "Oh God, help. Help those people. Help those people in the gangs." And that was it. Little prayer up to God. All right? Well, that then came back down into his heart again, bigger. And he began, when it's bigger, then it takes you a little longer to pray. A lot of times, the reason why we get done praying in 10 minutes is that's because that's all we have to pray. Why? Don't have much there to pray. But I guarantee you, if you plant what you got, then He increases it. And don't even get into under condemnation about it. You compare your time. Oh, somebody can really pray for a long time. Don't get into condemnation about it. You can't plant their seed. You can only plant what you've got. But we are responsible to plant what we do have. You give to God what He gives to you. And don't think small of yourself. Oh, that's not much. Well, it's a seed. Seeds don't seem to be much, but they grow into big trees once they're planted. A lot of people are hesitant to pray because they think the things in their heart are small. They are. They're seeds. Start praying them more. So he prayed. And this next time then, it took him longer to pray. He had more seed to sow. But he planted that seed up to God, and oh, it came back to him again, bigger, bigger, with greater desire, greater desire. Anyway, that happened over and over and over again until it was huge in him. Huge in him. It was all he could think about. It was all, as soon as he'd get done praying and get a little relief of praying, and then it'd be in his heart again, and he was just full of it, just full of it, until it came back down to his heart as bread. And he went to New York and started ministering on the streets of New York to gangs. He wasn't that he had a history in that. It was that God had a plan in that. And he just walked it out. And of course, we know him as David Wilkerson, and he started Teen Challenge. It enabled him, a little skinny Pentecostal preacher, had no experience with drugs and murder and switchblades, to walk up to gang members in their face and be totally fearless. Why? Because what was on the inside of him was bigger than the streets of New York. Do you think God has more of these plans? For other cities, for other places? Yes, I believe He does. But He doesn't just drop it on. No, He does not. He never has. What He does, He sees if a man will be responsible to plant what He gives to his heart. I was telling the Lord the other day, I said, "Lord," I was telling Him some things I trusted Him with. I said, "I'm trusting You with this. I'm trusting You to work there. And I'm trusting You to work there." And He spoke really strong to me. He said, "And I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You to ask Me." Okay, I'll ask You. It's not just all God. It's not all us.
We do the asking, but he supplies all the brain work. He supplies all the ways. He does all the provision stuff. He does all the miracle stuff. But he does need someone to give back to him what he gives us. And we can do that. We don't have to come up with anything, but we do need to respond. And you know what? We can do that. We can do that. Anybody can do that. Hallelujah. Now, that kind of praying usually isn't the kind of praying that you just do in front of everybody. Usually, especially because you're doing it in English or you're doing it in your known tongue, and there are things in your heart, you're just not wanting everyone to hear what may be in your heart. There may be a close friend that you want to pray with sometime. Maybe husbands and wives lift these things up together. That's great. But I want to encourage you. These are things that you can pray about in the car while you're going. Don't just pray only in other tongues to God. You talk to God about what's in your heart. All right? Because there's a place to pray in other tongues. There's a place to also pray with your understanding. And Paul said, I will do both. So let's do both. Amen? And it connects you. It gives clarity to thoughts then and ways. But tonight we're going to pray a little bit more in other tongues. This afternoon, as I was just praying for this church, and there may be other churches here represented, I'm not sure, and I know that these things in principle apply to every church, but I was praying for this church, and as I was praying, there was an anointing that came and an unction that came about some assignments that God, and some ways and some thoughts that God has he has them and has had them even before the church ever began. In fact, the church began because he had these thoughts and ways and plans. And the church is growing to a position now where it's getting older and mature enough to begin to implement some of those things. Some. And then as it implements those, it'll open up doors for others. But it's important that these things become clear. Now, there are many things that we could pray about. Should I ask the Lord, can we pray about, the Middle East? What do we pray about? What do we pray about? The world, the harvest, whatever. And you know what? What he put in my heart is that while we're together right now, I don't know what else happens in other time. Well, what we're to pray about is for God's plan for this church. All right? So we're going to do it. Amen. And he's going to give identity to different things and different people's places. And he identifies these things as we go. Praise the name of the Lord. But as we do this, in Romans the 8th chapter, it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know how to pray for things as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be made in articulate speech. And then it says that he who knows the mind of the Spirit, he who searches the heart also knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. So know this, that when we're praying in other tongues, we're not praying our thoughts. We're not praying our ways. We're praying his thoughts and his ways. And we're latching on to those things. We're speaking on to those things. We're declaring forth of those things. And we're praying them in mystery. But as we pray in mystery, it gives a way for them to become not mysterious, but revealed. All right? So it's a very simple step of faith, but let's do it boldly. All right? Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Jesus' mission and that he accomplished his mission. We're so thankful
for his great words that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Father, I am thankful that within the great church, the universal church, that you are building churches, local churches, bases of operation. And this one has not been built by the will of man. It's not been built by the will of Paul and Maria. This church has been here because it was your will, and they just hooked up with your will. You wanted this. And now we are so grateful, we're so thankful for everything that has come to pass to this point. But we have a witness in our spirit, and an increasing witness even today as we prayed, that there is great purpose for this church, even beyond the lives of those that this church has been a blessing to this point. We have a witness in our heart that those that have been added to this church to this point are now a part of a plan that's bigger. Hallelujah. And so, Father God, we just pray in faith concerning what your will is concerning this church in Jesus' precious name. And we do it by the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray about your ways and your thoughts. Hallelujah. That remain right now in mystery but are to be revealed. And I thank you, Father God, for little seed thoughts and ways that you have put in people's hearts already. And I ask you to inspire them to lift those things up in their own times of prayer. In Jesus' name. And from this time on, let it come out more. Amen. There's a voice of prayer to be lifted up. Not from one, not by some, but from many, 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 because many seeds have been given by God. Many seeds have been sown from the front to the back. Hallelujah. In the youth, in the children, all over. God has given seeds in people's hearts, and they're to be lifted up. So I'd like you to just stand on your feet right now, and let's just go ahead. Utilize your faith to pray. Lift it up boldly. It's good to utilize your faith. It's a muscle that will become stronger and more bold as you do it. That your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, even concerning this place. Obey. Oh, the barakadad jididi of regalevedza. Ola manganda didi of regalevedza jididi of gidevedza. No, keep turning the pages. Don't get stuck there. No, keep turning the pages. There's more. There's more. Yada barakididi of regalevajididi of gidevedzidi of gidevedzara. Zadavidigididi of gidevedza. Oh, but it's nice the way it is. Oh, but there is more. It is his will that there is more. To make a way. Oh, yeah. Your ways make ways where there is no way. For youth. Oh, medicated for children. Yana mangandro de caro do zorregidi di avredle lele avregidi vizo. Sarakitara vajuro de diarando lolo de diarede diarata. Zeravriduro di amrande di avrede.
Every living stone, every member, every person, every man, every woman, every couple, every family. Strengthened, and firmly placed. Oh, yakadavajiri di crivello lo lo matu jiri fra palava da vada mana mana manana ye le parakito ro do ko jiri avrera zerekero non jiri light a light oh jiri kit ranga de vejo de gri bizara jera vraki di vejo de mrambo lo lo zeri grede Erracata la vazzolo la li avreghe le vigili di grevezzo. So the frappa la vazze. So the fribele vigili di grevenos. Is farraca da vaggiuro di elene ne 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 no. Yela re di cara di giara di ara di ara la li avrana. No, 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 non canda di avreghe. But in line with your will. In line with your will. Yana vanjururi kleve jiriri adata. Oh, yakarevi jiriri klavato lolo brava de vidare di avrata de vedzasta. Yele reri akiriri akara di estone ne ne anana. Zela lele avrata da vazururi arriki di vigiri di akara sede. Hallelujah. Now I want you to do something right now while we're still praying because it's in the Lord. I want you to pray for yourself, for your family. Go ahead, the will of God. Yourself, it's right. Go ahead, it's right to pray. Yeah, that His will is done. In your families. Not falling short. No, no, no. Yeah, you've come this far. You've come this far, and it seems. Kashonga says that some have run into a block. But oh, yes. Go on. No, we're not stopping. No. Garavanza. Nene mera cara di avregale vege di agrevede. No, no conge di agrevede di adeda. Zerekede di agalaria di abrora cara. Yea, to strengthen in the magandolo lele avrege di vigilo lole arata. Ze ama engere carasto. Yea, le di acara du stundere di brabarre stede. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lay your hands on your own head. Somebody else maybe has wished that they could lay hands on your head. We lay hands on our own head. Father God, we commit our own thinking, our thinking to you, oh God. In all our ways, we acknowledge you. We trust not to our opinion. We trust not. But in all our ways, in all our relationships, we acknowledge you. And you direct us.
You cause us to think your thoughts, understand your ways, that we may walk in them. Fill us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. In Jesus' precious name, being fruitful in every good work, not stumbling or causing anyone else to stumble, yet and not being a stumbling block or a hindrance to the way of the Lord, but thoughts and ways that coincide perfectly with God's. In Jesus' name, I give way to my thoughts to your thoughts. I yield over to your thoughts in Jesus' precious name. Concerning relationships, concerning my businesses, concerning everything that concerns me, I yield it over to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, when you do that from your heart, it opens the door for God to really, really do some interesting things. He works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just thank Him for it. I just see thoughts and ways, hallelujah, like the rain from heaven coming down and watering the earth so that it brings forth. And your life brings forth and is fruitful. And your family brings forth and is fruitful. And this church brings forth and is fruitful. Hallelujah. Yay. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, for your thoughts and your ways. Your thoughts and your ways and your purposes and your plans. Hallelujah. We love them. We love them and we embrace them. We choose them. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this. I have the mind of Christ. He thinks through my mind. I see through His eyes. He speaks through my mouth. He touches through my hands. To the degree that I yield to Him. And I yield to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. He does. I believe He's increasing more and more. Hallelujah. I mean, something happened right then. And expect it. Expect it. Before you go to sleep tonight, expect it tomorrow when you go about doing whatever it is you do, that He has more expression in your life. Amen. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's so good, isn't He? Amen. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. You don't even want to leave tonight. You get in His presence like this, and He starts moving. You just want to stay here and camp all night, don't you? Amen. But I tell you, it just was exactly what I needed to hear tonight. Amen. And those of you that come on Tuesday nights, you know, don't you? I'm telling you. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just believe we're right on doing exactly what God wants us to do. And, you know, I didn't talk to Patsy about our Tuesday nights and the way the Lord's been leading us, but I'm going to after service. Hallelujah. Because it was so right on. You just don't know. You just don't know. It was such 100% confirmation to us.
Good.
Just the Lord. Amen. And I tell you, it adds fuel to your faith, doesn't it? Because I believe we're just in the right place at the right time doing what He wants us to do, don't you? And then just to get a confirmation, it just gives you more fuel to go, okay, let's keep going. Amen. Well, I was blessed tonight. How about you all? Let's see, she said it was a seminar, right? I keep going. Well, I guess be dismissed. Amen. Well, you have a good night. Be blessed. We'll see you Wednesday. God bless you.
You know, the Bible says that God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name that is above every other name. That at that